All right. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here tonight. I know there aren't a lot of us here tonight, but that's okay, because Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we definitely qualify for that tonight. We know that He is here with us, and we're going to worship Him for a while. We're going to sing some songs. Of course, before we do that, though, we do need to pray, because we need His help so very much. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, asking for Thy guidance, Thy direction. We ask for Thy will to be done here tonight. And we ask, O God, that Thy presence would truly be here among us today. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst cleanse us of any evil thing. And I ask, O God, that Thou wouldst truly inspire us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Let nothing hinder this worship here tonight, but we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst inhabit the praises of Thy people here tonight. We ask for Thy inspiration, Thy guidance, and Thy direction. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know that on Wednesday nights we usually use the chorus book exclusively, and I was thinking what we might do tonight is do some in the hymnal and do some in the chorus book. Why not? There's no rules that we have to use the chorus book every Wednesday night. So I was thinking, why don't we go ahead and sing? We sang this song on Sunday in the hymnal number 84, More Abundantly, and I quite like this song a lot, so I'd like to sing it again. Number 84 in the hymnal, More Abundantly. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does He grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you His disciple? Test His word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. For His matchless favor, magnify the name of our gracious Savior, who from glory came. Let the saints adore Him for this wondrous word, sealing our redemption through the crimson flood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Come to Him believing, hearken to His call, all from Him receiving, yield to Him your all. Jesus will accept you when to Him you flee. He will grant His blessing more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life, and more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. glory to God, and we do need His Spirit. We need it more abundantly. That's how you get victory in this life, through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That Spirit that He has promised to give us more abundantly. But we know that we have victory in this life, and we can have victory over this entire world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 210 in the hymnal and sing Victory Ahead. Trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with a carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Well, On that note, why don't we sing number 294, Victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus. To save a wretch like me, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Glory to God. I am so thankful that he has given us that victory. We wouldn't have that without him. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to the chorus book now and sing number 77, In the Name of Jesus. Number 77.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee.
Do have victory through the Lord Jesus. And I tell you what, if a devil ever comes along and tries to start trouble with you, just start singing that song. It'll drive them away. They're not going to be able to listen to that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we do have the victory through the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know that without Him, we would be completely helpless. So why don't we go ahead and sing number 91 in the chorus book, Without Him. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me.
could see and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me.
The Lord. Well, it's amazing how quickly time can go when you're worshiping the Lord. And because of that, we're going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy provisions. We thank Thee that Thou hast enabled us to be here and that Thou hast kept us for so many years. O Lord, we ask, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and for Thy glory. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. And Diane asked that we would pray for her regarding her diabetes and damage to her eyes, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, beseeching Thee as our almighty Savior, knowing full well that Thou art our healer and our deliverer, and that nothing is too hard for Thee. We come to Thee on behalf of our dear sister Diane, asking, O God, for a healing touch from heaven. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst work in her life now, work on her body. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst reverse the damage from this diabetes, that we ask for Thy healing touch. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst heal her eyes, touch her eyes now, even now. Make them stronger and better than they were even before, we ask. And we know, O God, that Thou art the healer, and we ask that Thy healing virtue would come upon her now, even right now. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we turn this over to Shirley. So why don't we just go ahead and sing number 98, Because He Lives, because He does give us a reason to live, and we're so thankful for that. Number 98.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus lives? Glory to God. You know, anyone who's filled with the Holy Ghost, you're never going to convince them otherwise. Praise the Lord, because you've got the Spirit of the Lord Jesus living inside you. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're not many here tonight, but God is here. It sure is good to sing His praises. It sure is good to worship Him. I sure am glad I know that God lives. Wow, what a blessing. I'm just so thankful that we have that understanding. You know, none of us know what tomorrow may hold. You know, we were talking a little bit before service about, you know, those military exercises that they are talking about doing this summer. None of that sounds good. And we've known for a long time that they have all kinds of plans contrary to the Christians and contrary to the principles this country was established on, all of that. But yet we know there's a God in heaven who is in charge, and a God that can keep us, a God that can sustain us, a God that can supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Praise the Lord, a God that can heal us no matter what the ailment is. Amen. Yes, and He is looking for people that have faith, that put their trust, that put their hope in Him, and that will stand on His promises and not be moved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are really blessed here tonight, and the Lord's help, we're going to have a study here and see what the Lord will show us. I'm just so glad for what God is doing, and I'm glad we could pray for Diane just a few minutes ago. I'm going to also pray for Brother Tim's daddy, because he's in the hospital right now and they don't know what's wrong, and they think there might be some kind of possible growth or something, and not sure just what it is. But anyway, if we could pray for him tonight. And I was able to speak to his mother today, and encourage her. And, you know, she is a woman of faith. I've been really praying for them that God would take them out of Catholicism. It can be such a hindrance and such a snare, and it would be such a joy to see them released from that, you know. But, you know, yet, you know, she is a woman of faith. You can talk to her about the Lord. You know, you can talk to her about healing, and she receives it. And, I mean, I'm really glad. You know, it's not everybody that she can go there with. So I'm really thankful, but we're going to talk to the Lord and just ask Him, oh my, to meet the needs of His people here tonight and those that are online and whosoever, oh my, who needs help here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we just thank You, God, that we can come before You, Lord, this throne of grace and mercy, Lord, oh God, knowing that You are a very present help in trouble, Lord, knowing that You are with Your people, Lord, knowing, oh Lord, that we can rest in You, Lord, and that we can stand in Your promises and know that they are yea and amen. And oh God, oh Lord, that we can defeat the devil, Lord, that we can stand up against him because, Lord, You are with us, Lord. Not that we could do it of our own self. No way, Lord. For we could do nothing apart from You, Lord. We could do nothing without You, Jesus. And God, we ask, oh Lord, here that You would meet, oh God, the needs of Your people. Lord, wherever they are, oh God, in the sound of this message, God, at the moment, whatever it may be that is, oh God, endangering them or, oh God, giving them worry and fear or whatever, God, it may be as concerns are, Lord. Pray that You would meet their needs, God, that You'd raise their hopes in Thee, Lord, that You would give them that strength that they need from You, Lord Jesus. And, oh God, we bring Brother Tim's dad before You tonight too, Lord, and ask, oh Lord, that You would talk to his soul, Lord, and that You would help him, Lord, through this ordeal, Lord. And, oh God, I pray, oh God, that there would be a good outcome, Lord, a very positive outcome, Lord Jesus. God, that You would do something, oh Lord, beyond, oh Lord, the normal, Lord, to make Yourself known. And God, those others, Lord, too, I pray, Lord, oh God, that You tug at their heart. Nancy Brown's dad, too, Lord, that You would talk to him, Lord, for I know he needs You, Lord. I know he's very sick. I pray that You would also talk to him and help him, Lord, move in his life, Jesus. Oh God, and Vicky Jones' dad too, Lord, that You would help him, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, for he needs You. He needs You more than he realizes, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that, oh God, You'd cause him to open up Your word, Lord, that You'd give him hope in You, Lord, that You'd talk to his soul, Lord. And God, all those others, Lord, who are in great need of You this hour, this minute, Lord, I pray that You'd be with them. Oh God, and that You would work in a mighty way, that You'd work in our hearts too, Lord. Oh God, that You'd strengthen us with might from above, Lord, that You talk to our hearts, God, that You get us to that place that we need to be in You, Lord, God, and oh God, that we would rest on You. Oh God, to go forward and do Your will, Lord, in what little time we may have left, God, that You'd give us that realization, Lord, that Your coming is near, and oh Lord, that we've got to work while it's day. Oh Lord, that night is coming when no man can work. Oh God, I pray that You be here with my words, Lord. You tug at our hearts, God. Oh God, that You move. Oh Lord, by the Holy Ghost, Lord, that You'd move, Lord. Oh God, that hearts would be given to You, Lord. God, while there is yet day, Lord, while there is still time, Lord. Oh God, while we can still yield to You and come to You, Jesus. Pray that You talk tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I pray that there'd be a people that would get their hearts right with You. Oh God, to do Your will, Lord. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, in response to this word, I thank You for it. I praise You, Lord. I rest in You, Lord. I ask You for help. Oh God, to be here, Lord. Oh God, to move by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be talking a little bit about growing in the Lord here tonight. And pray that we could all be strengthened. I think I'd like to call this established, strengthened, and settled. I've got three S's here, all taken from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. We'll go there in a second. But here, calling it established, strengthened, and settled. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my, to have that strength, that settling, that establishment in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, let's just start with one little verse here. 2 Peter, the very last chapter, we'll begin with this verse where it starts here. As Peter is ending his second epistle, he writes in verse 18, chapter 3 of 2 Peter, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Praise the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we all know that we just come to the Lord as a babe in Christ. You know, as Sam was teaching on Sunday, the need to be born again. And that means that we're starting over. That it's a new life when we come to the Lord Jesus and we give him our past and all our problems and all our sin and we bring it before the Lord. And we go down in the waters in the name of Jesus Christ and, oh wow, praise the Lord. Hopefully we come up receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. But for sure with that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost and that new life in Jesus Christ, that need to be born again. It's a precious moment, isn't it? It's a precious thing. It's a beautiful thing to see people go down in that water. Praise the Lord. Realizing that their sins are all remitted in those waters, that they're gone, that they've been taken by our gracious Savior and Lord. But, you know, we come up as a new person in Christ. It says, you know, "Behold, all things are new. And old things pass away." We know that. You know, we come up as a new creature in Christ. And I'm realizing more and more, it seems like right now, that there's a certain thing that seems to be going around. If people thinking that they could come to Christ and continue in their sin. And there may be another track that comes forth here. You know, it's just not so. Because there are some expectations that our Heavenly Father has of us as the new creatures in Christ. And he doesn't expect us to continue in sin. In fact, we're told, God forbid, that we should continue in our sin. God forbid. There is no way that we should live in that realm. Yes, it's possible that we may make mistakes and have to ask for forgiveness and praise the Lord for those waters of regeneration that continue to flow to take care of any sin. But it was written by John that these things write I that ye sin not. But praise the Lord, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And what a beautiful hope and consolation that is, that he is the payment in full, the propitiation for our sins, and for whosoever will come to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord for those promises. But for sure, when we come to Christ, things should not stay the same. We're going to come as a newborn babe. And there's going to be many things that we're not going to know initially. Just as a little child, if you've been a mother or a father, you know that that little one has to be taught almost everything. I mean, sometimes it's so amazing how, you know, almost overwhelming at times how much a little child needs to be taught. You just start from nothing. And try to build a foundation. Of course, that makes parenthood so important and so crucial that we teach them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen. But praise the Lord, a little baby doesn't know much at all. It doesn't take too much time until, you know, they start learning. I mean, almost right away they start picking up things. They look at us, they watch us, they notice, they observe. They're always staring at something or watching something. And, you know, if we're talking filthy language, that's what they're going to hear. If we're nasty as a parent, that's what they're going to hear. And that's how they're going to think is, you know, normality is. And that's how they're going to be. But praise the Lord, as newborn babes in Christ, we have His Word. And how it speaks to our heart. You know, there is a wonderful foundation in God's Word. And it is just so important to take it seriously, to bear it to heart, to esteem it as the most important book that you would ever find here on earth. It's forever established in heaven, and we are so privileged to have it, to understand what it is taught on those pages, and to, you know, put it to heart. Oh my, we are so blessed. We are also blessed to know how important the King James Bible is, too, because those other versions of the Bible take away from the deity of Christ and so many other crucial elements of God's Word. And, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's been watered down and changed. And, you know, even though it may help people to a certain extent, it's not the true Word of God. And we are so blessed to be able to open up a King James Bible and to lay it to heart. We really are. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. We're going to go to 1 Peter now, the 5th chapter, and read a few verses as we begin this study here tonight. Let's start with verse 6 here in 1 Peter 5. It reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And I'm so glad, at least we don't have to be unknown of the devices of the devil. And here we're told to be sober, to be watchful, to be vigilant, because we know that we have an enemy. We have an adversary that is going to try to oppose us and come against us in any way he possibly can. And he's sneaky. He's learned a lot. He's been watching human beings ever since they were created. And he's learned a lot of tricks. But praise the Lord, we serve one that is greater than that old devil. Amen. We serve one who is able to keep us. And he's able to sustain us. He's able to meet our needs. And praise the Lord, we can resist the devil, as it tells us here, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We can resist his whims, his cunning, his devices, his lies, all of that. We can resist it, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. Yes, there have been people that have overcome. Yes, there are a people. They're standing before the throne of God right now. They're worshiping Him. They're praising Him. They're adoring Him because they've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Praise the Lord, there are those that have walked in this world and walked in victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's look at the 10th verse here. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Oh, praise the Lord. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So there is a one that has called us. He's called us. And we sing about that hope that we have, that eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He's called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And you know, we know our life here is but a vapor. It's going to be short. It goes quick. You know, you don't have to be too many years old to realize how fast the years go. And I guess it is true, I suppose. The older you get, the faster maybe the years go. I don't know. But for me, they're going mighty fast. And you know, all I know is one day soon we are going to stand before the Almighty God and give an account of our life. That is for sure. We know, yes, these things on earth, yes, at times it's difficult. At times it's hard. At times we suffer. At times we have pain. You know, at times we're confused. At times we don't know what to do. We don't know what to call upon. And you know, things could be topsy-turvy and just, you know, completely something strange that we can't understand at times. But praise the Lord, there's one who allows us, when our life is given to Him, He allows us to go through certain ordeals and circumstances. He's got something in mind. There's something that He's trying to do in our lives. Oh yes, we came to Him as a newborn babe without much understanding, without much knowledge, but He wants us to grow. And oftentimes He uses a little bit of trouble to get us to that place so that we turn to Him with all our heart. So we get down on our knees and cry out to Him. He may be in anguish and in travail and maybe with all the heart, but He knows what it takes to get us to that place where we can really turn everything over to the Lord Jesus. But He's doing something in our life. He's trying to change us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to get us to that higher ground so that one day we can stand before Him and hear Him say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of my Lord." So it's after that ye have suffered a while. It's going to take that. We're not going to automatically come to Christ and be perfect. I don't know if that's ever happened. But I just kind of doubt it. Because I just see it takes a lot to get us in that place where we have a heart that's perfect towards God. It takes a lot. It's going to be with much tribulation that we enter into that eternal destination that we are hoping for. So it's after that you have suffered a while, it says, make you perfect. But there's this process that's going on. It says, establish, strengthen, settle you. This process to make us concrete in the Lord Jesus, to make us stable individuals, to make us examples in this world where instability is the course, where, you know, there's hardly any examples that could bring you to Christ. You know, here it is. But that's the Lord working inside of our hearts, inside of our lives, to mold and shape us, to get us to be on that higher ground, to make us perfect. Amen. Establish, strengthen, and settle us. And praise the Lord, it can happen if we'll allow Him to work in our lives. I've been thinking about those four seeds that Matthew 13 talks about. If we could go there for a little while here. We know that all kinds of people are in this world, and the word is to go out. You know, Paul did a terrific, an amazing job when he walked this earth. All the known world in Asia heard the gospel. And that was without all our modern means, without our computers, without newspapers, without television and radio and all those other more so modern things in this present world that we live in. Somehow the gospel spread. You know why? There was a man that had a zeal for the cause of Christ. There was a man that gave everything over to the Lord Jesus and surrendered his life. And he didn't count anything else as dear. It all, his credentials, his past, all of that he counted as dung. And he had a goal in mind that he might win as many people as he could to the Lord Jesus. You know, I think that was with him every minute of every day. Who can I win to the Lord today? Oh, who can I help? What can I say? What can I do? I believe that was deeply embedded in this man. And what an impact he had. What an impact. What changed lives there were. But we know that All that hear the gospel do not necessarily believe the gospel. And that parable that Jesus told in Matthew 13 gives us that insight. You know, it tells us, first of all, in verse 4 about those seeds that fell by the wayside. And sometimes as we're going forth with weeping and burying precious seeds, that sometimes those seeds do fall by the wayside. Here it tells us in this case, the birds, the fowls, came up and ate them before they could germinate in the ground. Then it talks about the stony places that some of the seeds fell by. And there, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of earth. So after a little while, because there wasn't a real deepness for them, the sun came up and they were scorched. There was no deep roots. They withered away. And of course, some of those seeds fell among thorns. And after a while, those thorns grew faster than the seed that was planted. And those thorns sprung up and choked the good seed. But praise the Lord for the good seeds that fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And you know, what a parable. We just see out of the four different grounds, only one seed is fruitful. The first ground, there's not a chance even. It goes in one ear and out the other. And there's people like that. You might have opportunity to witness to them, testify to them, or whatever, give them a track, or whatever, but they don't have it in their heart to listen. It's just not within them. And that seed that is planted doesn't germinate, it doesn't grow, nothing happens, they don't change, they don't feel their need to repent. So that's the seed that falls by the wayside. And then we know, yeah, there's those stony places. You know, and it talks about, as Jesus was interpreting it, verse 20, it talks about that's equivalent to those that hear the word, and anon, with joy, they receive it. And, oh, I see people like that. The word came forth, and they could see it, they could understand. They took notice of it. It did something to their life. And it was with joy. I remember many people who received the word with joy. But down the road, just a little while, something happened. All at once, things got a little harder. And maybe it was, you know, a relative, a daughter, a son, a mother, a father, you know, that began to give them a hard time. Or maybe it was their next door neighbor or something else, some other conflict. And things began to get really tough and all those doubts began to gather in their life. And, you know, all those question marks. And all at once they began to wonder if it was really worth it to serve the Lord. And they gave up. And they gave up all they had come with such joy to the Lord and received it so happily. But I'm sorry, it was stony ground. And after a little while, that word was not allowed to grow. The root wasn't deep enough to sustain them when it really got rough. It wasn't deep enough into the earth so that they could still stand. And so they were offended and they left. And then it talks about those that received the seed among the thorns is that type of person that again comes to the Lord and has understanding and perceives it and embraces the gospel even. But then down the road, all at once the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches begins to overtake them, and that word that was starting to grow, maybe even just a little bit, is choked and it doesn't bear fruit. It becomes unfruitful. You know, they might realize or think after a while, well, you know, they got to do this, they got to do that, they got to go here, they got to go, you know, go there, they got to work this job, maybe the other job, and you know, pretty soon there's no time to pray. There's no time to read the scripture. There's no time to sing and worship the Lord and praise our Almighty God. Why, goodness, couldn't even come to church. You know, after a while, there are people like that, that word that was starting to grow in their life gets choked by those thorns, those cares in this world, and the things that overwhelm them. Yes, there's all of us have cares. We all have burdens. We all have things, but there's one thing we've got to remember, and that's to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's one thing that we've got to remember, and that's to put the Lord first, that we can't serve two masters. You know, we're going to hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's just not going to work. And yes, we were warned. The Lord Jesus warned us that, you know, we're going to have to love Him above all else. We're going to have to love Him more than we love father or mother or son or daughter, anyone else in this world. We're going to have to put the Lord first regardless of what other people say and do and think. You know, and it can be hard. It can be hard because people may not understand those changes that come about in our lives because we're serving the Lord. They might not get it. And they might persecute us. And they might mock us and do anything that they can think of to tempt us, to change us, to get us back to the old person we used to be. But praise the Lord, if that root is deep, if it goes into good ground, it can grow. Praise the Lord, and some wonderful thing can happen. We can bear fruit. We can bear fruit. You know, it might be, you know, 40-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. But praise the Lord, there are people that bear fruit, that grow with the Lord, that, you know, are fruitful and grow. And what a beautiful thing it is. You know, I just think of that growth process. You know, you put a seed into the earth, and you know, the scripture talks about how that seed has to die. And truly, that's the process when we come to the Lord Jesus. We have to die to ourselves, to our flesh, to our desires, to the old man, to, you know, the things of this world. We have to learn to put the Lord first. And you know, I see one troubled thing that, you know, bothers a lot of people these days is to be spiritually minded. You know, that old carnal self often rises up and tries to take advantage of us and overwhelm the spiritual man. There's a war that's going to go on if we're truly serving the Lord. It's not going to be easy because it is a straight gate that we enter in. It is a narrow way. It's not going to be easy, but the Lord's going to go with us. He's going to make it much easier for us than we could ever imagine if we'll let Him fight our battles for us, if we'll hold on to His promises and rest in Him. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, that seed is put into the earth, and you know, it's going to die. It's going to split apart. And you're going to think, wow, if you're just examining the seed, it would look, you know, pathetic, I suppose. But praise the Lord, if it's watered, if it's in good soil, if it's grown in a good place, you know, there's a little embryo that's going to grow. It's going to burst through that seed and start to grow, you know. Well, once you're going to see these little leaves coming out, you're going to see this blade coming forth out of that seed. And it's going to have leaves. And you know, at the same time, there's these roots that are going to grow down into the earth. And praise the Lord, if the seed continues to grow, if it's going to grow up, the roots are going to grow down. And, the roots are going to help anchor it into the earth. And so there's going to be stability there. And that blade is going to grow. You know, that blade that, you know, that the Word of God is that two-edged sword that sharpens us, that gives us discernment, that shows us how to go. And praise the Lord, if it's all growing, there's going to be some growth coming forth out of that seed. There's going to be some sharpening that comes forth out of that seed. There's some discernment and understanding that's going to come forth as that seed is growing. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, if all goes well, that seed is going to bring forth fruit. Once, you know, there's enough leaves there, the root is deep enough, all at once, eventually, in due time, there's going to be fruit that comes forth. And praise the Lord, I think we can apply that spiritually. You know, we come to the Lord as a newborn babe in Christ. But praise the Lord, if we can put those roots down deep, and if we can die to the old man, to self and our selfish will and desires and all of that, and we can lay that aside and let the Lord Jesus rise in our heart and burst through that shell, that old seed, and come forth and hope, wow, so that His countenance could be seen on our face. So the light of the gospel can shine through us, so people can see that we've been with Jesus, and they can tell that we are His disciples. Oh, praise the Lord, then it's going to bear fruit. It's going to be fruitful because Jesus is in our life and because we've given it to Him and we've surrendered that old man and that will. And I know Paul talked about dying daily. Yes, we initially come to the Lord, and what a glorious day that is. But, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to need to do every day. We're going to need to come to Him every day and lay down that old will and that old man and those old desires, all the ugly things that try to rise up and overwhelm us and take over. But praise the Lord, there's victory in Christ. Praise the Lord, and if we'll allow the Holy Ghost to reign in our life, if we allow the Lord to grow in our life, we're going to be established, we're going to be strengthened, and we're going to be settled in the gospel, in our hope, in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So what a need we have. You know, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, clearly tells us there how we are not to be children any longer. There's got to be a growth, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh my, we'll allow that seed to grow. We don't have to stay children in the Lord. We don't have to stay a newborn, but we can allow the Lord to grow in us so that we will henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That's the condition of most everybody who calls themselves a Christian, it seems to me today. They are tossed to and fro, or otherwise they're in some strange doctrine that is not proper. It is not scriptural. It is not correct. They're carried about with every wind of doctrine. And that's what the devil has arranged. You know, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, the things that he's, you know, motivated people, you know, to embrace, to believe, to go into. But the Lord would have us to allow the Holy Ghost to work in our hearts. And truly, He has put people that are established in the truth to lead and to direct. It tells us distinctly in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we could grow. Yes, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's that word, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But there's got to be growth. There's got to be something that develops in us. And so one way the Lord arranged for that is He put people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to help in that area. But I'm so sorry, these days it just seems like there's very few who instruct properly, who instruct in truth, spirit and in truth. It's a barren land right now. The laborers in Christ are truly few, and while most people, I believe, are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, what sounds good for the moment is what they go with for the moment. And you know, Jehovah Witness comes to the door and convinces them, so maybe they'll go with that, you know, and maybe the next week it'll be a Methodist. Who knows? But you know, if you don't know the Word of God deep inside, then you know that possibility of you being tossed to and fro is very possible, I'll say, because you know, otherwise how are you going to know what to stand on if it's not in your heart? And you know, it's got to be more than just listening to somebody else, because you could put your faith and trust in somebody who is completely in error and be led completely astray. That's what's happening in most churches, you know. Many wonderful, sincere people in the Catholic Church who have put their hope, their faith in a man, and wow, been led astray. So truly, we must know the Word of God and have it hidden in our hearts so that we can rightly divide it, so that we can know it and understand it ourselves as individuals. Amen. So, part of that process of growth is to be established. I'm just going to talk about that for a minute. The word establish is the same as establish. And there is this need to be established. It means to be made firm and secure. And you know, to be something that isn't going to wiggle all over the place and be carried to and fro. To establish is to dig down your roots. And there's many scriptures that talk about being established in the Lord. James, the 5th chapter, verse 8. It says, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that's the great hope that we all have deep inside, the coming of the Lord. It draws nigh. It's going to happen one of these days. We all know that. So it's so important that we be patient and establish our hearts. They got to go down deep, those roots. They got to be established in the principles that are laid out in God's Word. We've got to be rooted in the Holy Ghost so that we can hear that still small voice that speaks to our soul and helps us to know where to go and what to do and how to act, how to live, how to be directed. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter also, tells us, verse 12. Well, let's read 10 to start with. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He was writing to people that already had a knowledge of the present truth. They had that knowledge deep inside, but that knowledge needed to be stirred up from time to time. And that was part of the role that Peter was playing there in his epistle there that he wrote, the second epistle. Yea, in verse 13, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And as long as he was alive, he's saying then, in this tabernacle, I think it's appropriate, I think it's proper, I think it's important to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, by bringing these things to your attention so that you will know these important concepts that are taught in God's Word. And of course, he laid out quite a plan there in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Yeah, that precious plan, if we will live by those principles. Verse 5, it tells us to add to our faith, that faith that we must have in order to come to God, to add to that faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. It's quite a little outline here. It's quite a ladder here to climb, because we start as newborn babes. You know, we have to have faith in order to come to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you have to have that initial faith, but you can't just stop with that faith. You've got to let that faith grow. And here's, you know, quite the procedure here. Here Peter is telling us to use that faith and add virtue to it. Godly principles and concepts. And to that virtue, to add knowledge. The knowledge of God's Word, to put it deep in our hearts. And to that knowledge, temperance, which is self-control. Being temperate in all things. And then to that temperance, patience. Oh, that little word patience that is so important. And then it says to patience, godliness. Oh, as we're growing, we're going to become more and more like the Lord Jesus, which is so beautiful, and what a goal to attain to. But to that godliness, then we're to add brotherly kindness. Oh, to have that love one toward another, that kindness, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That kindness that comes to us because we're the Lord's and we want to be like the Lord Jesus. And then adding charity to that brotherly kindness, that charity that is love, that gives without any expectation of anything in return. Oh, wow. This is quite a ladder to climb. But Peter wrote, it says, if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These characteristics are deep inside of us, and we've got that kind of growth. And it's not going to be in a minute. It's not going to be instantly. It's going to be because we're striving for the mastery. We're striving to grow with the Lord. We're working on our salvation with fear and trembling. And we're trying to be like Christ. We're crucifying the old man and trying to put on Christ with all our hearts. And it tells us, if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful promise. We know if we could just strive for those characteristics that we're going to bear fruit. And that's what we all want to do. We want to have fruit in our life, something to show to our God. And we didn't just take this life and hide that talent in the dust, in the dirt, and you know, and do nothing with it. But instead we invested our life in the work of God and brought forth fruit. Praise the Lord. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise the Lord. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. We sing about abundant life tonight. Yes, we want that abundant life in Jesus. But if we do these things, then there's going to be entrance into the kingdom of God is going to be abundant into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he was writing here, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." See, it needed to be stirred up from time to time so that, you know, that growth could take place, so that striving for the mastery could be obtained. So, that importance of being established in the present truth. Romans, the 16th chapter, talks about the need to be established too. If we could look there briefly here. Romans 16 and verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." And of course that revelation of the mystery was that the Gentiles were going to be heirs with the Jewish people in the kingdom of God, and that was not well known. That was not known. It was a mystery. But it was revealed, and it unfolded as the gospel came forth. So praise the Lord. The Lord is able to establish us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's got to be built upon the chief cornerstone. And of course, the prophets and the apostles, those that went before, are all part of that foundation that was laid, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And that's what we're established upon, according to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that preaching of that glorious gospel that he has given unto us. And then we are established to be kept from evil. If we could look at 2 Thessalonians here for a minute here. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And that's a wonderful promise. If we can bring those roots down deep, and we keep on walking with the Lord, he is faithful. He will hold to his promises, and he will establish us in the truth, in the gospel, and keep us from evil, which is a wonderful promise, because we know that we are surrounded by evil in this world. It's all around us. But praise the Lord can keep us from evil. Amen. And 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 17, just above there, it says, "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So, as we grow in Christ, we should be established in every good word and work. It's going to be a wholesome work that we do for the Lord. It's going to be something with significance, and something with meaning, something with deepness, in every good word and work. And then one more place I want to go here. 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, it says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And here's our great hope. We want to be without any spot or blemish that is coming. We want to have unblameable hearts, hearts that are void of offense or guile or sin, any offense to the Lord at all. And praise the Lord, he gave us the glorious gospel to the end, that he might establish us unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. All praise the Lord. That's the great desire and hope of our heart, that at His coming we would be found unblameable, without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord, that's the great hope of our heart. Amen. And then, you know, He said there in our text here tonight that we would be strengthened. To be strengthened means to be made strong or to increase in strength. And praise the Lord, we know just the one who can do that, don't we? I remember how Jesus said to Peter, he said Satan had desired to have him, to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said that He had prayed for him, that his faith fail not. And He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And we were just reading from Peter there, from his epistles, and what strength there is in his epistles. Praise the Lord, Peter was converted, wasn't he? On the day of Pentecost, he was fully converted, and he was changed. We see a different man entirely, a man who was bold, who was full of zeal for the cause of Christ, who wasn't afraid to lay down his life. He wasn't afraid to stand up for that which was true and faithful. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ by any means, but he was bold and ready to declare it, ready to preach it, ready to make it known. And he did so. He did so. He strengthened his brethren, and many others were converted because of his ministry. And we know in the Old Testament that we are told in Isaiah 40 that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's how we're strengthened, by waiting upon the Lord, so we can mount up with wings as an eagle, so we can run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. That comes with waiting upon the Lord. That's how we're strengthened, with His might from above. You know, there's times that we're not going to know the answer right away. It's not going to just, amazingly, mysteriously, miraculously appear before us. Oh yes, at times, perhaps it will, but many times we're going to have to seek for the answer. We're going to have to be down on our knees, waiting upon the Lord and asking Him to strengthen us with His might. But He has promised to do that. He has promised to do that. And He talked about, those that wait upon Him, how their strength would be renewed, and we'd be able to do feats that we could never do on our own. No way. Elijah, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was able to outrun Ahab's chariot. I'll tell you what, that's an example of how we're strengthened, how we can do things that, it wouldn't be with our own might or strength or power or ability. In fact, that reminds me of Zechariah, the 4th chapter and verse 6. Just turning there briefly. Zechariah 4:6. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how we increase our strength. It's not by our own ability, our own physical strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. Oh, that Spirit of God that comes upon us, that comes to dwell in our heart, to change us, to make us His own, and to give us power over sin. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is, that strengthening that the Lord gives His people. I know He said in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise the Lord, the promises of God. But that strength isn't going to come of our own self. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about Asaph there in 2 Chronicles 14, and there he was in trouble. The Ethiopians were surrounding him, and it was a great multitude. Remember, it was a thousand thousands. It was a million people in that army that came against him, and he didn't know what he was going to do. He really didn't know what to do. They didn't have that kind of manpower. They didn't have that kind of ability. They didn't have that kind of strength. But he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. He said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And God honored that prayer. He knew he didn't have strength of himself. He didn't have power. He didn't have ability. But he cried unto the Lord. And that's what we do too. That's what we do to gain strength. And praise the Lord. The Lord smote the Ethiopians. He smote them all before Asa, before Judah. And they all fled. Oh, and the Lord gave them tremendous victory. Tremendous victory. And there was much spoil in that which they did. So we can be strengthened with that might from above. We can be strengthened in the Lord, given that power to overcome and to do things that we could not do on our own. And then that great need to be settled. Oh, to be settled. Oh, to be in a firm position or place where we're not wrestling. We're not wavering. We're not, tossed to and fro. But it's established in our heart. And we know in whom we believe. And we're convinced that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. We know that. We're settled in our heart. And, we know that, no matter if, our dearest friend goes the other way, that we still have the Lord Jesus, our dearest friend on earth, or our children, or our parents, or somebody that we esteem, or our job goes awry, or the church that we attend all at once goes nutty, and believe me, it can happen. But yet it's settled in our heart, so that we know firmly in whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. It's, it's a sure thing. We know our God. We know that he has all ability and power, and that he has a great love for us, and that he's able to keep us. No matter, if the earth be removed and cast into the sea, if all the mountains disappear and are broken into pieces, still we have a God that's able to keep us, a God that's able to move in our lives and to change those things that need to be changed in us as individuals. Let's just read from Colossians, the first chapter here. We'll look at verse 20 here. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now hath he reconciled. What a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord for that. It says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's pretty precious. There it is, without blemish and without blame, no reproof, nothing that he can see in our past, in our living, that he could find fault with. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ can do in our life. That's what the waters of baptism do when we go down in those waters in the name of Jesus Christ. for the remission of sins. Those sins are blotted out because there's one that's going to present us to our Heavenly Father, and He wants to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And then it says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, firm in your mind, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Praise the Lord. That's how the Lord would have us. We come to Him as a newborn babe. We don't know much. We don't have much understanding. But praise the Lord, if we can dig those roots down, we can establish our life on the rock Christ Jesus and dig down deeply. We can be established in Him. We can be strengthened in Him, not by our might or by our power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. And then we can be settled. It's in our heart. It's deep. You know, it doesn't matter what the paper is going to say tomorrow, or what, you know, the commentator on the television screen is going to say, or any such thing, you know, or what the next door neighbor is going to declare, or what gossip's traveling around town. No, it's not going to bother us, because we know our God, and we've given our past to Him, and we've let Him establish our hearts, and we've let Him strengthen Him with His might, His power, His ability, and we become settled. We become settled in our heart. Praise the Lord. And therefore, if we are settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, if that's in our heart, then there's one who's going to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, there at the white throne judgment when we stand before God. And what a moment that will be. What a moment that will be, because there will be no moment that could compare to that. You know, suddenly everything we did, you know, it's going to be opened up, and it's going to count whether or not our life has been grounded in Christ, and we've come to Him and let Him take our sin, our past, our misgivings, our failures, all of those things, and give us reconciliation through His blood. Oh, what a moment that will be. What a wonderful moment. You know, we're told in Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse 9, the importance of not being carried away. You just find that here quickly. Hebrews 13, here at the end of Hebrews. It tells us in verse 8, Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have not been occupied therein. But we're established with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the heavenly things, with the gospel, the good news. And therefore, it's settled in our heart, and we're not going to be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You know, we are living in that time. I think that was Paul spoke up to Timothy there, the second epistle to Timothy there, the very last chapter, where Paul was talking about the time would come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And to me, it seems like we're in that time period right now where so many will not endure sound doctrine, but instead will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. And they have these itching ears. I would rather be told a nice, easy story rather than to hear the truth. Yes, the truth may hurt at the first. It's not so easy to be told to repent and turn away from your old ways and to get your heart right with God. And, you know, it's not so hard. It's so easy to bear, you know, maybe the fact that, you know, you've got to break up this relationship that, you know, you've been involved in, or, you know, you've got to stop smoking those cigarettes, or, you know, going to the bar, going to those dances, or, you know, doing this or doing that, those things that displease the Lord. It may not be so easy to hear that. But praise the Lord, if we allow that Word of God, that Word of God, it tells us it's like a rock, like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. If we'll allow it to work in our lives, you know, a hammer that keeps hammering away. Yeah, you know, we might, you know, we come to Him, this great big block, you know, with all these faults and all these problems and all these, you know, hindrances and even sin and all of this and that. But if we allow the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to work on our heart, it begins to chip away. Chip away at this, chip away at that, you know. Get rid of the things that, you know, would cast us into the lake of fire, so that we can come to the Lord Jesus one day as a perfect individual, as a man that's a woman, a girl, a boy that's been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's gained maturity, that's grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a person that has continued in the faith and is grounded and settled. It's established in the heart. So we're not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, we're not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And we've given the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to the Lord, so that those things are not pounding at us anymore and trying to destroy us. We've given it to the Lord so that one day He can present us. He can present us, as part of that church of the living God, that glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful moment that's going to be if we can be blameless in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be worth it to have given our lives to the Lord and let Him chisel away at us to make us holy and blameless in His sight. Oh, praise the Lord, that He might present it to Himself, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 27, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to be made perfect by the blood of the Lamb, established, strengthened, and settled in our heart. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, after that we've suffered here a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your gospel, Lord, for the good news, oh Lord, for what You've already done in our lives. And God, I just pray, oh Lord, that You would call tonight, Lord. Oh God, that You would call to that one, oh Lord, who has not yet given his or her life to Thee, Lord. And God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would work and that You would, oh God, restore, that You would help us all, Lord, to get to that place, Oh, Lord, where we can be blameless in thy sight, Lord. Oh, God, that we can stand before you, Lord, fully established and strengthened and settled in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would work in us, God. Draw us close to you, Lord. And oh, help us to get to that place that you want us to be, Lord. Oh, God, bring us to that place in you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank God. His glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Holy and without any blemish. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 48 in the chorus book, They That Wait Upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.